What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogenmeyer. We're three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers now for four seasons, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly, and this is our second, going on our third season now, as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, a lot to get into today. It is the Friday show, so we are going to do some fan voicemails. And on today's show, we have a few I want to get into with you guys. But we're going to start with the news of Melvin Gordon changing his tune a little bit on whether he wants to come back to the Chargers. He has now said that he does want to stay with the Chargers, which is much different than what he was saying when, obviously, he was holding out. And we're going to end the show with our predictions, but it's not our game predictions since the Chargers did not make the playoffs this season. But we are going to do some playoff predictions for this weekend's games and also make some Super Bowl picks since we don't have a normal prediction segment. So that's what we're going to do to wrap up the show. It's going to be a little bit of a different show, but we have a fun show for you guys. So let's go ahead and get started. While Melvin Gordon was holding out this offseason and into the regular season, he maintained that he did not want to go back to the Chargers if they did not sign him to an extension, and now it seems like that tune has changed. This is Daniel Wade and David Drogenmeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Melvin Gordon came out to the media this week and said that he does want to remain with the Chargers, which is obviously much different than the story that we've heard from him and his camp since the holdout. He obviously missed four games this season due to the holdout. He came back right before the Miami game, but did not play even though he dressed for it. Ended up playing in 12 games, was able to stay healthy for the remaining 12 games of the season. But he caused a lot of bad blood when he did that, David, not just with the Chargers fans, but even with some other players. And now the Chargers have to make a decision with Melvin Gordon this offseason now because he's saying he wants to come back. But David, it might have something to do with the fact that he didn't really have a great season. I mean, especially compared to what he was able to do the year before. So it's not all too surprising now that it doesn't seem like he's going to get the big money that he thought he was going to get originally, that now he's saying that he wouldn't mind staying with the Chargers.
And he talked to the media and said, hey, I have a relationship here that I enjoy. I mean, this is like your first love. These are the guys that, you know, took a chance on me and they made my dream come true. He was saying all types of things, you know, indicating that he was wanting to stay with the Chargers. And, you know, Tom Telesco had a press conference and somebody asked him about Melvin Gordon. And he basically said that I did not like the fact that he sat out. It did not sit well with me because it hurt the team. I don't know if we'll want to bring him back yet. All of player contracts are going to be evaluated. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what he ends up doing. I mean, Melvin Gordon's definitely not going to get the type of money now that he was looking for when he initially held out. And, you know, that holdout not only affected the money that he could have made, but it affected his production and, you know, how his teammates and how his organization saw him after making that decision.
And it's pretty much been universally panned as the wrong decision by Melvin Gordon and his camp. No one really ever thought he was going to get that money. A lot of people were surprised that the Chargers were even willing to give him the around $10 million that they were rumored to give him. So I don't think he's getting anywhere close to that. If you look at what he ended up doing this season, it was 162 carries for 612 yards. 8 touchdowns, but only 3.8 yards per rush, which is not good, especially coming after the 5.1 yards per carry, a career high in 2018. There's been no other season where he's eclipsed 4 yards per carry, and that is not necessarily the biggest stat when it comes to running backs. That can be a little bit deceiving, but so can touchdowns scored. So even though he scored a bunch of touchdowns, I still don't know if the value is there for a running back to bring him back with big money. I mean, his receiving stats went down a lot this year, especially with the success of Austin Eckler. And with Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson still in the backfield going forward for the Chargers, it makes Melvin Gordon maybe not expendable, but more so than he would be if they didn't have those guys and they really needed to address that this offseason without Melvin Gordon. So, David, I put the question to you. Do you want Melvin Gordon to come back to the Chargers?
Definitely not at the asking price that he's going to be looking for. I think Melvin Gordon has probably priced himself out of a Los Angeles Chargers uniform. I would expect that he's probably going to be playing football with another team next year. I just don't see how the Chargers can and Melvin Gordon can come to an agreement of $11, $12 million a year, which was kind of seeking before when he did his holdout. So do I want Melvin Gordon back? I like him as a player. I think that they can get the same or equal or better production with drafting somebody or keeping the two running backs that they already have. I think that money needs to be allocated to other places, and that's going to spell the end of Melvin Gordon's tenure with the Chargers.
I think that's how it's going to end up going in the offseason. I just don't know if the value is there. Austin Eckler is good value. You're getting that production from someone that's on a tiny contract, and you still have, you know, his rights. He's a restricted free agent this offseason, and I would rather the money go to Austin Eckler because I just think he brings more to your offense, and I think that Melvin Gordon is more easily replaceable than Austin Eckler is. He's just such a dynamic offensive weapon, not just a running back. I think they can make do with other running backs, and I just don't see it happening. He's at least going to want, you know, $7, $8 million per season. I just don't think with the Chargers and the rest of the holes they have offensively and defensively that it makes a lot of sense to come back when he's not the best running back on your team right now. And you add that with 4 out of his 5 seasons in the NFL less than 4 yards per carry, there's really nothing about him except for a few special runs here and there that says he should deserve that money. I am pulling for him to get that money, but I do think it's time for a fresh start for Melvin Gordon somewhere else. But we do have 2 more segments to get into: our fan voicemail segment, followed up by our playoff predictions coming up right after this. But first, I need to tell you guys that just because the Chargers season is over, betting season is not over. If you're the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it, well, MyBookie is the best place for you because they let you turn all of your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football season, the NBA, and the start of college basketball, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you have a couple of big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. If you guys join MyBookie right now, they will match your deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. That's free money to play with, guys. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. All you have to do is use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDON. It's all caps, one word, to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. And of course, I always have to tell you guys about our favorite car dealership in the world, and that has to be Metro Infinity, which is right off the 210 in Monrovia. You have to swing by their brand new multi-million dollar facility to check out the amazing selection of new and used cars. I mean, things are always going wrong with cars, guys, and if you're in the market for any new or used car, Metro Infinity is the best place to go. They're the number one volume dealer in California, and one of my favorite parts about it, you don't even have to go into the dealership. They will bring the new car and the paperwork to your home or office, and you can complete the whole transaction there. If that wasn't good enough, you can even save money with Metro Infinity, because if you tell them that Locked On Charger sent you over there, they will give you an extra $500 off any car purchase. They take pride in not being your typical car dealer where it takes hours to buy a car. They don't play games, and they want their customers to have a luxury car buying experience. If you want to get in contact with them, make sure to call 626-599-7510, or you can reach them at metroinfinity.com. And right now, you guys can be leasing a brand new Infiniti Q50 3.0 luxury loaded with navigation for only $1,000 down at $325 a month plus tax. Plus, you get that extra $500 off because you told them that we sent you over there. All right, guys, well, it's time to get into what we do every single Friday and get into our fan voicemail segment of the show. And if you guys want to reach out to us and get on the show and get your voice on the Locked On Chargers podcast, the number is 323-524-7924. We have some really good calls to get into today, but I first want to start by sending a shout out to Casey from Grass Valley. Hey, man, I wanted to get your voicemails onto the show. Unfortunately, there was a really loud crackling noise in them. Hopefully you can call back. I thought you made some really good points about LSU and Joe Burrow and what the Chargers should do going forward. So if you can find a better place to make the call and try to keep it under 3 minutes, I really want to get that on the show, but I can't play. I tried to edit it, but I need you to call back and send it in again. But we're going to start today by talking with a recurring guest who always comes on and calls into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line, and that is Nameless. So we have a relationship, but I do not know his name. So let's start with Nameless and see what his after or end of the season thoughts were.
Hey guys, this is Nameless. Just want to say thank God this season's over. What a disappointing season with such high expectations. Real quickly, Philip Rivers had a press conference after the game. I really, really liked what he had to say. He was down to earth. He was genuine, and he even got a little choked up and emotional talking about his career and his Iron Man status and wanting to continue to play football. So the guy still has the fire and the desire. However, he did say there's a lot of things that need to be addressed on this team, and he knows it, and you guys know it, and I know it. But he has an insider deal, so he knows exactly what needs to happen on this team. Hopefully, him and the ownership can get together and give him one more crack at this thing. Glad the season's over. Look forward to the offseason and trying again next year. Thanks, guys. Bye.
So, I mean, I thank you for listening, Nameless. I mean, and you're right. Thank you that this season is over. Obviously, such a really a talented team with high expectations. And, John, you were one of the people that really wanted to temper people's expectations with this team, and you know the Chargers better than anyone else, and you know how these seasons go, especially when the Chargers have big expectations, especially when they didn't check off some of the boxes that you wanted to in the offseason. So I want to know what you think about the Chargers not living up to expectations once again. And he also says in this that, you know, Philip Rivers still seems to have the fire and the passion is needed to play. And in his press conference, he said the Chargers need to address some things. So I know you agree with that, but do you agree that Philip Rivers still has the fire and the passion to play the game?
Absolutely. He has the arm strength still. He can still make the throws. He's still smart with his audibles and decisions he makes. I would say he's probably not good at being in sync with the team right now, and I think that has to do with things like holdouts and the type of practices that happen. Melvin Gordon holds out and then comes back. That threw off the offense. You could tell just when he came back, we weren't as productive as we were the first few weeks. So I think stuff like that really threw off the offense, because if you look at last year, Rivers was on point with most of his throws. He would make a read and go for it. If he wasn't making the throw, it's because he was getting sacked, and that was our weakness last year. So I think he definitely still has that passion. He's still got the IQ for it, and he's still got the athleticism for it. He just can't run. That's the only thing he can't do. Maybe giraffe, as David likes to say, when he runs. So other than that, I think he could definitely come play. The missing pieces need to happen. I think he's trying to hint at, like, hey, you know, Telesco, I'd like to come back, but can we fix this offensive line, please? I mean, I'd like to not be on my back every time. I'm going to say it should not have been what it was. Yeah, we went 6-1, I think it was, in one score games. But most of those games, we got so lucky. The Titans not converting a two-point conversion at the end in London. The Seahawks not scoring from the one-yard line, basically the one-inch yard line, because Jahlil Adai barely gets a fingertip on the ball. Coming back against the 49ers, like, there were so many games that we should not have won, but we did, because things went our way. But the offensive line was still really bad, and we never fixed the offensive line. And this year, more one-possession games. This time, we didn't get the luck in our direction. It was basically the same exact team with a few extra injuries. Derwin James and Russell Kuhn were probably the two biggest. We didn't have that last year. We had those two guys most of the year. So I would say the frustrating part is not fixing what your weakness was while you had a team that was winning. If you could have capitalized on 12-4 with a better offensive line, but you didn't. And Rivers knows this, and I think he's trying to hint at it with that press conference. And it's Telesco's time to show that he knows that he messed up and needs to fix it this offseason. If he doesn't, the hot seat has got to be extremely hot on Telesco.
Absolutely, and it is incredibly frustrating, because you understand when fans, you know, think the world of this team, even though they're winning in spite of some very obvious flaws, but when the front office can't see it, that's a problem. We knew that last year with the run defense and the offensive line, both of which came back to bite them this year, and the linebacking play as well. But I do think that Philip Rivers has the passion to play, and I think he will continue playing. And now it was nice to see him kind of be honest in a press conference and say, hey, this team has a lot of holes and they need to get fixed if this is going to be a team that competes. I'm not just going to come back through the doors and we have 12 wins automatically. So I thought that was a nice breath of fresh air, but it's time to get into one of our favorite callers who has some pretty good lines for us this week. And it is Tim, who's giving his last call of the season. Let's hear what he has to say.
Hey guys, it's your boy Tim. Just calling up. I guess this is going to be my last call because this is it, huh, for the season. Man, I can't remember when I was disappointed more in the Chargers than this season. They just really tanked and after going to the playoffs and stuff. But anyway, what do? Start over again. Phillip Rivers, man, dude, you're awesome. Loved watching you play. I hope you're back for one more year, but if you're not, thanks for all the good years. You're a gamer. You're a tough guy. What can you say, man? We couldn't ask for more quarterback. Love you, man. And good luck in next year, hopefully playing, but could be retirement. Anyway, just a few things to say, guys, just to get off my chest, you know. Anyway, here we go. Andre Patton, get your flu shot after the season next year because you can't even catch a cold, dude. Chargers O-line, I got a new name for you, SPF0, because you can't block shit. Question for you guys. Do you guys happen to know whose idea it was for the Chargers offensive line to wear roller skates all season? Also, Chargers O-line, most of you will be out of a job next year. I understand the Ritz-Carlton is hiring doormen. All you have to do is open the door and let the people go by. I think you'd be great at that. Chargers defense, the NFL is a tackle football league, guys, okay? Except for, you know, that's not for Rayshon Jenkins because he's elite. Right, Coach Lynn? Tommy T, you suck. You have more misses than hits. You should play for the Bolts defense, dude. Bosa was a no-brainer. James was a no-brainer, so don't even bring it up. Questions for you guys. Did you see did you see Tom Kmetko after the game? During the game he was up in the Arrowhead stands with the seeing eye dog looking for a replacement for Tebby. Did you know if you found one? Anyway, guys, it's been a blast this year. I love calling in, talking to you guys, getting things off my chest. I ain't got a lot of people to do that with out here where I'm at and it's just been a great time listening to you guys and listening to the other callers, though I don't agree with a lot of them. Like the guy who called up and said they should keep Tom Kmetko. Oh my god. Oh please. I mean, I almost puked when I heard that one. Anyway, hey guys, love you. See you next year. Hey, happy new year to all of you, and I'm out.
Well guys, I mean, Tim always brings it. I mean, he always brings the wordplay. He always has something to say. My favorite one from this one has to be the Chargers offensive line. He has a new name for them. They're SPF0 because they can't block shit. That was my favorite one. They should be doormen. That's also a good one. I was a little worried with the flu shot because I know you can't catch a cold. We've been there before. But my third favorite, I guess, was Tom Telesco should play on the Chargers defense because he has more misses than he has hits. And that, I mean, is pretty telling. But David, I think he makes some valid points, even though he's kind of joking. I mean, Andre Patton, obviously that third wide receiver position needs to change. You need to get somebody there. The Chargers offensive line definitely can't block. And right now, Tom Telesco is really under pressure. I think he's right when he says, you know, most of the picks that we praise Tom Telesco for are picks that basically anybody would have made. Derwin James, Joey Bosa, guys like that. And I think he's gotten a lot of credit, and now it's time to take some of the blame. So I think Tim's right about a lot of the things he says there.
Yeah, I mean, no question about it. I mean, even Tom Telesco in his end-of-the-year press conference said that, I acknowledge that there's definitely some holes that I need to fix. I mean, the offensive line did not get the job done this year. He acknowledged that, and he realizes that, you know, there's got to be some additions that have to be made to that group. And like I've said on multiple occasions, hopefully it's, you know, these guys that come in and just want to absolutely maul people and run them over and not let anyone get anywhere close to their quarterback, guys that have just a nasty mean streak, guys that we haven't seen, you know, on the Chargers offensive line in well over a decade, as you'll know if you listen to our last podcast. But man, I mean, it's nice to hear that Tom Telesco is pissed off, and now he knows that the pressure is on, then he needs to make some moves. The Chargers have the cap space to make those moves, but Daniel, is he going to make those moves? I guess we're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, and the sketchy thing is it's such a big offseason for the Chargers, so they either totally uproot their front office and get rid of the general manager, who probably comes with a new coaching staff, because that's usually how those things go. There are exceptions, but that's usually how it goes. If you get a new general manager, he's going to want his own coach. So I think the Chargers are going to let Tom Telesco figure it out. Obviously, Black Monday has come and passed, and we've seen no moves made by the Chargers to fire or hire anyone so far. But I think that he's going to get this year. I think that they want to let him have this, but I think this is a make-or-break year for Tom Telesco. He's going to have to hit on his draft picks. He's going to have to hope that the guys that he drafted this year come back and are spectacular next year, guys like Nazir Adderley and Jerry Tillery on top of, you know, Drew Tranquil, and maybe we'll see some Easton Stick. Who knows? But I think that he is definitely on the hot seat. They'll probably bring him back whether he deserves it or not. From what he's been able to do addressing the needs on this team, even though he's gotten some pretty good skill position players, but I think he's coming back. But thank you, Tim. One of my favorite callers, as always, you know that. I hope you still call in the offseason with your thoughts on maybe some draft picks. Maybe you should tell us to keep away from some guys who couldn't even catch a cold, or, you know, some linemen that like to pretend to be doormen at times. So keep calling in, Tim. We love having you on the show. But one more guy we have on the show is a recurring caller, and this time it's Curtis Loki, who wants to know what our offseason plan is if we're the Chargers. Let's hear what he has to say.
Hey, guys, it's Curtis Loki. So I just got off work pretty late, and I didn't get a true chance to really watch the game. Really didn't want to watch it to begin with. But one thing I kept getting updates on my phone for was Phillip Rivers' interview. And so when I got home, I watched the interview, and obviously it's rough. I mean, watching him and his reaction, and, you know, my question is probably similar to a lot of people's, or maybe even your own, and that is, you know, going into this off season and experiencing the tank, if you will, or the bad play from the team, we start to think about the future of the organization, the team, from the GM to the head coach, to obviously the quarterback, and seeing how we're at the number 6 overall pick. You know, I mean, sure, I imagine on your show there's going to be a variety of different possibilities, and one of those is possibly moving on from Phillip Rivers, or obviously drafting a quarterback at that number, if not trading up. But, I guess my question is based on, you know, he made a statement, and it was something along the lines of, it's not as easy just to say if I come back we win 12 games and check a box like that. He said that there's a lot of questions that need to be answered, which I took that as there's obviously a lot of holes on the team. It's not just me. And I don't even think that was a selfish thing to say. I think it was pretty honest. But with that being said, with the possibility of him coming back or not coming back, how do you think we approach the draft? And realistically, financially, how do you think we approach free agency? Thank you, guys. Love the show. We'll continue to support through the offseason. Look forward to hearing from you. Go Bolts.
First, let me say that you didn't miss much, Curtis. I mean, it's probably better that you didn't watch the game. But yeah, right. Going into this offseason, kind of like I just alluded to, is it's going to be a very big offseason for the Chargers, and the future of the general manager, the head coach, and the QB all could change. We don't really know at this point, but in his statement saying it's not easy for him to just come back and get the team 12 wins, you're totally right, and this team does need changes. Like John said before, but you're wondering how do we realistically approach free agency and the draft. So, John, I know you talked about before the changes that need to be made, but if you're the general manager and you're approaching the draft and free agency, what is your plan?
Well, I'm going to figure out what my idea for the draft would be. So, for example, if you want to go for a QB, you need to figure out what your like top 3 options would be based on your scouting. And if you think that guy is going to be there, then I'm looking in free agency for an offensive lineman right now. But if you don't think your guy is going to be there and you don't want to trade up to get a guy, then you need to be looking for offensive linemen in the draft. Figure out who you're going to get in the first round offensive line-wise, and then that eliminates one of your free agent options. So say you're going to go with a right tackle in the first round. You don't need to get a right tackle in free agency. You can get a guard or something in free agency, but you need to be addressing that offensive line free agency wise either way. But it depends on how you're going to attack it, because you can't be spending big money on every single one of those guys. Ideally, you'd like to, but you have other holes to fix. You still need to find a corner to go with Casey Hayward. You still got to find that third wide receiver, and you could draft that guy if you feel there's somebody late in the rounds, or you can get a really low, cheap free agent that's going to be better than Andre Patton and Travis Benjamin. I can guarantee you'll find somebody cheap that could do that. And the other thing is, I would be looking at in the Super Bowl and try to see which one of the guys from the Super Bowl this year is a free agent and maybe go after one of them. Those guys usually try to go for a decent contract, not always big money. They just want long term. So you could probably find a decent run stuffer on the defensive line, on the interior defensive line from the Super Bowl. And I would target them right away. And I think that'd be the one big money guy you get in free agency.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm spending big on anything in free agency, I'm going offensive line. And I, obviously, when the plan has to do with what you're going to do with Phillip Rivers, because the Chargers have over $50 million in cap space, but Phillip Rivers obviously eats into that if they are to re-sign him. But just because you sign an offensive lineman in free agency doesn't mean you're not going to draft an offensive lineman. I wouldn't mind if they signed a free agent offensive tackle or offensive guard and then went and drafted another offensive tackle and offensive guard. So I really think that the Chargers have to start there with the offensive line. I would like one of each, but you have to be able to find that third receiver, and I think you could probably find him in the draft, a later pick, especially with how loaded this class is with wide receivers. I think you still need help on the interior of the defensive line and a linebacker. I would like to draft a linebacker. If there's a younger guy you can sign and put in there and plug and play, I would do that as well. But I think that you could probably sign a defensive tackle pretty cheap in free agency, and you could find some linebackers that are better than what you have right now easily. But the problem is this team has been so infatuated with putting so much stock in guys like Denzel Perryman and Sam Tevy and Trent Scott and Rayshon Jenkins. It's just hard to know if they'll actually be able to make those moves. But
Daniel, I just want to see a change in philosophy, honestly. I just want to see a recommitment to addressing the lines and really building from the inside out. That right there, honestly, is the biggest thing that I want to see as a change in this offseason.
Yeah, and my biggest thing is just going to be, like, you're talking about making a big change. It starts with offensive line, like you're saying. And once they do that, if they can address that, then everything else becomes easier, because that's the biggest thing in my mind is the offensive line. Everything else, you definitely need those positions, but those fall in after you actually get a legitimate NFL starting offensive line out there. But we do have one more segment to get into. We need to get into our playoff predictions and all these matchups this weekend that we're excited to watch for coming up right after this. All right, guys. Well, every Friday, we always love to get into our predictions for the game and give our bold predictions. But there is no more Chargers regular season or playoff football this year. So for this prediction show on Friday, I want to get into the playoffs and tell every one of our fans who we think are going to win. I mean, we always talk Chargers, so we're going to take a step away from that and talk about the rest of the teams and what we think about them and their matchups this weekend. So I will start with you guys, and let's start with the Buffalo Bills versus the Texans. This is a pretty tough one for me. I think that the fact that it's in Houston makes things a little bit more even. The Texans are a 2.5-point favorite, but if you know anything about the spread, that means they're basically even. Since it's a home game for them, I think it's basically a wash between those two teams. John, where are you going for Bills and Texans?
Well, the Texans have been pretty inconsistent.
Yeah, very up and down.
In the year, so I'm having a hard time finding confidence in them. I feel like they're the better team, and they have home field advantage, but they've just been so inconsistent. So I'm going to go with a team that's been a little bit more consistent. I'm going with the team that almost beat the Patriots twice and has beaten some other decent teams and stayed with the Ravens. I'm going with the Buffalo Bills in this one.
David, where are you going?
Yeah, no, I'm right there with John. But I just think that Buffalo is just a more physical and more tougher football team, and I think that's going to show. And I think that's really important in the playoffs to be able to, you know, to really impose your will and be physical. That's why I like Buffalo over Houston in that one.
Yes, I think that Buffalo is the better coach team. I think that makes a difference. Obviously, the Texans have the better quarterback in Deshaun Watson, and they've, you know, looked unstoppable on offense at points of this season, but it's really hard to trust Josh Allen. It's really hard to trust the Bills in the playoffs, but it's also very hard to trust the Texans in the playoffs. Neither one of them has had much success. I'm going to, you know, since you guys are going Bills, I will go ahead and take the Texans in this one in a close game. But let's move on to our next matchup. We have the Tennessee Titans versus the New England Patriots. This one is a tougher one. I mean, I want to pick the Titans in it. The Patriots are 4.5-point favorites. David, who are you liking in this one right now?
Oh, man. I don't know if it's really a question of who I like, but honestly, you know, until somebody beats the Patriots in the playoffs, I can't pick against them. I mean, that's just, you know, really as, you know, getting down to brass tacks as I could possibly be. I mean, I got to pick the Patriots. I mean, until somebody beats them, they got to be the pick.
Yeah, I have a hard time picking the Titans. I don't think it's a good matchup for the Patriots, but I've picked against the Patriots before. I'm going to be one of the last people off of the Patriots, then be the first person to say they're going to lose. I mean, everyone does that every year, and they go and shove it in your face and blow somebody out. John, where are you going for this one?
I'm going with the Titans. They've been kind of hot offensively. Ryan Tannehill's given them new life. The Patriots have been kind of down in the year. They haven't been the same Patriots that you see where you go, yeah, they looked kind of slow to end the regular season, but they still got it. They're going to heat up in the playoffs. I just don't see that this year. And just like you said, someone says the Patriots lose and then they shove it in your face. I'd be one of those people saying that every year, but this year I feel differently about it. I'm going Titans.
And I like that. I mean, I wouldn't have blamed you for going either way. I could definitely see them losing. In my mind, I think they probably win this week and get bounced out in the next round because I just don't know if they have that extra gear offensively to keep up with the Ravens or the Chiefs. So that's where my thinking is on it, but I'm going to take the Patriots for that one. Time to flip over to the NFC and talk about the Sunday games this weekend. The first one is, I mean, going to be a pretty good game, but it also has the largest spread, and that's the Minnesota Vikings at the New Orleans Saints. The Saints are a 7.5-point favorite. No love to Kirk Cousins. And John, I know you don't believe in Kirk Cousins in primetime games. Do you think the Saints are getting this one easily?
Without a doubt, easily. Kirk Cousins is overrated. I don't even know why they still have him as the QB. The Vikings are not. If they somehow get past the Saints, they're going to lose the next round regardless. I'm going Saints, probably blowout.
There's 84 million reasons why he's still the quarterback, by the way.
All guaranteed. David, where are you going?
Yeah, no, honestly, I think this has potential to be the best game of the weekend. I think, you know, these are really two really talented teams that, you know, are really strong on both sides of the ball. I mean, I think we got to see how Dalvin Cook is and if he's, you know, rested. If the Vikings are able to run the ball, they're going to be able to keep this close. But I think the Saints have too much firepower, and I think that's really what's going to separate them. I think the Saints are going to get this one.
Yeah, I'm not bold enough to pick the Vikings. I have no trust in Kirk Cousins. I think that offense goes as Dalvin Cook goes. And Kirk Cousins, guys, has been a really good quarterback at times this season. And it's still impossible to trust him because you still have some games where he just doesn't have that. And even though they smoked the Chargers, it wasn't really because of the greatness of Kirk Cousins. And I think they're just running into a team that's mad they didn't get the number one seed or a bye in the first round that they're even playing this weekend. I have the Saints as well. So let's go Seahawks at the Eagles. Another game where it's the Seahawks have been better pretty much all season long, but the Eagles are getting hot at the right time. The Seahawks are a 1.5-point favorite, but they're going to Philadelphia. David, how do you see this game going? Who do you think wins?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the only reason why the Eagles got home field in this one is because the NFC East is absolutely terrible.
That's a joke. They should change the playoff system.
It's absolutely insane. But yeah, honestly, I think the Eagles are going to get waxed. I think Seattle's going to beat them up and down. I think it's going to be probably the blowout of the weekend. I'm going Seahawks.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a big difference, though, if the Seahawks left tackle Dwayne Brown can't play, so that's something to keep an eye on. And the Seahawks have kind of been sputtering to the finish line here. I mean, they lose to the Cardinals, they lost to the 49ers, which is hard to really hold against them, but I think Russell Wilson is one of my favorite quarterbacks in the NFL. I hate going against him, but I think this one actually could be a pretty close game. The Eagles have some weird type of playoff karma that always seems to come in their favor and really help them out. John, who are you picking in this one?
I'm going with the Seahawks as well, but I think this game's going to be a lot closer than most people think. And the Eagles are actually really hot right now. They've won their last four. And all of them were division games, which are the hardest games to win. And the last time the Eagles played the Seahawks in Philadelphia, when they were actually at their lowest point, the Eagles only lost by 8. So I still think this game is going to be closer. And the Eagles have learned a lot. And like I said, they're hot. And the Seahawks have been on the lower end. As you mentioned, they lost to the Cardinals. I still think the Seahawks win this game, but I think it's a lot closer than people think.
Well, yeah, and they lost their best running back, Chris Carson, who was a big difference maker as well. I mean, they're pretty banged up. So it's going to be interesting to see what that team looks like when they go out on Sunday. I'm going to go with the Seahawks hesitantly. I could see this game going either way, but I'll stick with the Seahawks. But Carson Wentz has been playing well lately. I would not be surprised at all to see them win. But now it's time to put our money where our mouth is, guys, and get into our Super Bowl prediction. I'll start things off for me right now with both of these teams obviously still in it. I'm leaning towards the New Orleans Saints versus the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens have been top 10 in offensive and defensive DVOA this year. I think they're one of the top teams in the last 15 years in overall DVOA for their team, offensively and defensively, saying this is a pretty special Ravens team right now, the way that they're playing. I'm going to say Ravens over the New Orleans Saints in the Super Bowl in Miami. David, where are you going for your Super Bowl pick?
So I was initially not going to do this, but I wanted to be a little creative with mine. And it might change, okay? It might change. But right now, I'm going to go Chiefs. And I hate to say this, but I'm going to Chiefs and 49ers, and I have the 49ers beating the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Well, and the 49ers, I mean, beat the Saints in New Orleans, and now the Saints are going to have to go to the 49ers if that ends up being, you know, the NFC Championship game. So I like that a lot. I mean, I think that those teams both could make it. I mean, the Chiefs and the Ravens, I mean, the Chiefs are one of the only teams I think that can really keep up with the Ravens in a game. I'm really excited for that game if we get to see it. The Chiefs beat the Ravens once already this year. John, where are you going for your Super Bowl? Who's going to win?
I'm with you. I'm going Saints and Ravens, but I think the Saints are going to be the ones that end up winning it all.
Okay, yeah, I like that. I mean, I think the Saints have a really good team. It's pretty dumb that with their record and how good they've been that they have to play the first weekend. I mean, I think there's some flaws there in the system. I don't have a lot of trust in Green Bay. I think they've let a lot of teams kind of hang with them, really bad teams, kind of like we saw the Chargers do last year, and that kind of got exposed in the playoffs, and that's where you see things get exposed is in the playoffs when you have those deficiencies. Teams have a week to really game plan against you, sometimes multiple weeks to really key in on it. So I think that's a good pick. I think Ravens-Saints would be a great Super Bowl. I think that Ravens-Niners, again, would be another really good Super Bowl, even though I'm down to try something new as well, but I like those picks, guys. We'll keep that going next week when we get on, and we'll do some for it next week as well for the divisional round of the playoffs when we get there. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Until next time, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. Thank you guys for coming back and tuning in the offseason. I love having this show for you guys and continuing to be able to talk about this team with you guys and giving you somewhere to have that platform to vent. If you guys want to tell us some draft experts you want on or any guests that you want on besides players, because the Chargers are notoriously stingy with their players, even though we're still working on those relationships as we speak. But any people you guys want on the show who you respect their opinion, you want some answers about free agency or the draft, make sure to hit us up on Twitter. But until next time, guys, take it easy and go Bolts.